Okay, it is now 12:03 and we are reconvening the meeting today. This is what I mean now. Okay, and we have an informal adjudicative procedure for David Ruiz. Ruiz.
Mr. Ruiz, are you present? You can unmute him. He's just there as a viewer. He may not be able to.
Mr. Ruiz, you are muted. Can you unmute yourself and say that you're here?
Are you able to click on that microphone next to his name? I think, what about if you click on that?
Can you hear me?
Oh,
good afternoon.
Okay, and you're David Ruiz?
That's correct.
Okay. My name's Stephen Green, and I'll be representing the Division of Professional Licensing today. We are here for in the matter of the license of David A. Ruiz, license number 9333080-1115, to practice as a barber in the state of Utah. Mr. Ruiz, I'm just going to kind of briefly explain how this is going to play out. So I'm going to do my presentation of what the hearing is and the evidence that the DOPL is presenting today to the board. Then you'll have an opportunity to speak to the board yourself. After that time, the board will enter into a closed session in which you and I will not be a part of. It'll be just the board to discuss the things that we've presented. If they choose, they can have us come back in and answer any questions that they may have. But then after they're done with their deliberations, they'll come back into the public session, and there'll be a public vote as to what action they're going to do or going to recommend to the director to take. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions on that?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, great. All right, so today we're addressing a notice of agency action that was brought by the Division of Professional Licensing, and that was filed on April 6th of 2026. And the purpose of this hearing is to determine whether you engaged in conduct that resulted in a conviction or a plea of guilty that, when considered with the functions and duties of your profession as a barber, bears a substantial relationship to your ability to safely or competently practice the profession in violation of Utah Code Section 58-1-501 sub 2 sub A sub triple I. Additionally, whether an order should be entered revoking your license to practice as a barber in the state of Utah and prohibiting you from reapplying for any license with the division for a period of 5 years, and whether the order should require you to comply with additional requirements before submitting any reapplication for licensure, including completing a psychosexual evaluation with a division approved license provider within the 90 days preceding the application. So the allegations that the division has alleged is that that Mr. Ruiz obtained his license to practice as a barber on April 3rd, 2015, and that on August 19, 2024, the respondent was charged in the 4th Judicial District with forcible sex abuse, a second degree felony, case number 24140277 in Provo, Utah. That case was later transferred to American Fork. And in that case, Ms. Ruiz pleaded guilty to attempted forcible sex abuse, a third degree felony in case number 24110099. When he pleaded guilty, Mr. Ruiz submitted a statement in support of guilty plea, where he admitted that he attempted to touch the breast of a female individual without consent and with intent to gratify his sexual desire. And on May 28, 2025, the court sentenced the respondent to one day in jail. Credit for time served, a fine of $553, 48 months of probation, and other conditions supervised through adult probation and parole. Mr. Ruiz, I just have a couple of questions that I want to ask you. So are you still on probation then?
Yes.
Okay. And you also had to register with the sex offender registry, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what was that period of registry for? Do you recall?
I don't recall.
It's 10.
I think it's 10, but it can reduce to 5.
I do recall 10 years. I would have to double check on the reduction, but I think that's accurate that it at least starts out as 10. So the division's evidence in Exhibit 1 is the information. And that's the initial charging document that was filed in which Mr. Reeves was charged with forcible sex abuse. On the second page of that document, there's a probable cause statement. That's where the prosecutor was alleging the facts of what happened that supported that charge. And that states, on or about July 4th, 2024, in Utah County, the defendant grabbed the victim by the overalls and pulled her into his apartment. The defendant then slid his hands above the victim's shirt and grabbed her breasts until a third party was able to push the defendant off of the victim. The victim was able to find the rest of her friends and left and reported the incident to law enforcement. The third party that helped the victim indicated he saw the defendant grabbing the victim's breasts. Then in Exhibit 2, this is the statement that he submitted in support of his guilty plea. You can see there that he's pleading to a third degree felony, attempted forcible sex abuse. And then on
hearings.
So at the bottom of the first page, it talks about the elements of the crime that he's pleading to, and that is under circumstances not amounting to an offense listed in subsection 4, an actor commits forcible sex abuse if, without the consent of the individual, the actor touches the anus, buttocks, pubic area, or any part of the genitals of another individual, touches the breast of another individual as a female, or otherwise takes indecent liberties with another individual. And then two paragraphs down from there, he makes the admission that he had a group of people at his home. They had been drinking. Defendant, Mr. Ruiz, attempted to touch the breast of a female individual who was present at the house without consent and with the intent to gratify his sexual desire. Turning to Exhibit 3, this is just the court minutes that kind of documents the procedural history of the case. It does talk about, on page 2, the sentence. is being sentenced for the attempted forcible sex abuse, third degree, the fine that was imposed, and under the order of probation, he was ordered to serve 1 day of jail. And then the terms and conditions of probation that were imposed. Exhibit 4 is just kind of more of the same information, procedural history of the case. And finally, Exhibit 5. This is a renewal application that Mr. Reeves submitted to the division. And this was submitted after the conviction. However, you'll see from the qualifying questionnaire that Mr. Ruiz answered no to all of the questions, including whether he had pled guilty to, pled no contest to, been convicted of, made a plea in abeyance to, or entered into a deferred sentence with respect to any felony or misdemeanor in any jurisdiction that you have not previously disclosed to the division. He answered no to that, which was not true. I believe we have Alicia Moran here today. Alicia, are you there? You see it? Alicia, if you can hear me, are you able to just verify that reapplication, that application occurred after the date that he entered the guilty plea? David, are you familiar with that?
I am.
Okay.
Hey guys, sorry about that.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just asking if you were able to verify that the application occurred after the conviction.
Can you hear me? Are we good?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I'm so sorry. I think we're having connectivity issues. I apologize. Say that again.
I'm just wanting, asking if you have verified that the application, the renewal application that he submitted, occurred after the date of the conviction.
It did.
Okay. So, Mr. Ruiz, that's the evidence that the state has. You are now able to present any evidence you have, any arguments that you want to present, and then I'll have an opportunity to reply to those. So, you just keep your arguments, your evidence to 15 minutes, and we'll give you that opportunity to say what you have to say.
Okay. On the jail part, I didn't spend a night at jail. It was a book and release on that part, but I do admit on the reissuing my license that I was at fault at that because of the financial abilities to try to pay off lawyers and stuff like that. I actually panicked and I just pushed yes on that.
Like cooking eggs in the.
Oops. I regret that.
Sorry.
That's fine. I regret on that part. Also, I was told by my lawyer that it wasn't going to affect my license, and that's why I also submitted yes on that. But I do have proof of the Utah Department of Corrections, my probation. I've been on probation. I did a risk assessment. I passed a sexual assessment, polygraph. Yeah, I just apologize for putting yes on submitting. For being dishonest on the renewing my license, because the financial burden is like, it's just affecting me. I'm paying lawyers and fees and stuff.
Mr. Ruiz, I hear someone speaking to you. I just want to make sure that you can't have, unless you're represented by an attorney, you can't have guidance.
No. Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Is there any, the board did receive the personal statement that you submitted and the two letters. Do you have anything else that you'd want to present today or any other arguments that you'd want to make?
The only thing, I've just been a barber over 10 years. I have a passion of barbering and personal and my personal business and work-wise, I feel like it's separate, and that's all I got. Like I don't know.
Okay. Maybe we can turn the time over to the board to ask Mr. Lees any questions that they may have.
This is Shannon Gilchrist. I just wanted to confirm, it looks like alcohol had a factor in this.
Yeah, that's correct. I don't drink anymore, so it's I think it might be going almost since the charge, I guess.
So are you doing any you're on APMP?
Yes. No, I'm on APMP.
Do you have support for alcohol abstention?
Oh no, I'm up to par on everything. I'm on the right track with the APMP.
Do you feel like it's going well?
Yeah, it's been going great.
I'm wondering, this is Darlene Duran. I'm wondering if you understand when you filled out that license and you marked that you haven't had any of those things, and there's a couple questions there. Do you understand the process that would have happened had you marked those and then you gave documentation?
No, I didn't, because like which I said, my lawyer said it wouldn't affect me, and now it's affecting me. I had no idea. Even if I put yes, I had no idea.
Because you still would have probably had a visit, but it would have given truthfulness to your character, and it would have given us an opportunity to be able to then have that looked at.
Yeah, I panicked because it was financial. It's financial. I'm still paying. I do admit on, like I said, I apologize on that. I do admit I put no on that.
Dave, this is Shauna Allen from the board. Is this your full-time job as a barber, or do you do other things?
No, I'm a full-time barber. I've owned a shop for, I've been more than 10 years experience. I've owned a shop. I lost my shop. Not due to the charge.
Where are you currently working?
Yeah. I'm a booth renter. I used to own Salty Barbers, which I have a 5-star shop. Trying to transition it into just an independent to a contractor booth renting. Right, I'm currently working in the Spanish Fork.
Anyone have any other questions for him? And I will add that if it, we'll be going into the closed session here briefly. If you have maybe more sensitive questions that you want to ask, we can bring Mr. Ruiz back for that. It's entirely up to you what you want to do. So I'm going to present my kind of closing arguments now. And I'll first note that the board's going to be asked to make certain findings of fact. And I want to clarify what the standard is for that to make a finding is. The standard in an administrative hearing is what's called a preponderance of the evidence. That basically means if you are more than 50% convinced that something is true, that is enough for you to find that it is true. So it's not like a criminal case where you have to find it beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a much, much lower standard. Like I said, 50% plus, more likely than not. Just going to the heart of the case, today is about public protection, professional boundaries, and regulatory trust. This is not about additional punishment for the conviction. The question is whether the board can safely rely on Mr. Ruiz with close physical access to the public. His conviction, non-disclosure, denial, and ongoing restrictions make that reliance unreasonable. So again, this is not a criminal trial. Now, I know Mr. Ruiz has indicated that he was not guilty of those offenses, that he just pled guilty to get that over with or to resolve the criminal case. I just want to explain that briefly. In our justice system, we give venues, opportunities to challenge certain things. And in a criminal case, the opportunity to challenge whether those facts did or didn't occur is in the criminal case. So Mr. Ruiz pleaded guilty to those things. The board can absolutely rely on that as established fact. So the purpose of today is not to relitigate those facts. You can even see from the information that there were indications that there were witnesses to the events. We didn't call in those witnesses for that very reason. We're not getting into that substance. You can, really the question is, what does the board do with those facts? Here we have a third degree felony conviction for attempted sexual assault. So that involves a non-consensual sexual touching of another individual. Now, I know attempt makes it a little strange. I can explain that a little bit as a former prosecutor. So during plea negotiations, we often allow people to get a one-step reduction in that charge. So Mr. Ruiz received a reduction from second degree to a third degree. And one of the easiest ways to do that is just to tack on the word attempt, and that legally drops that down a degree. So I don't think you should take that as an indication of what actually occurred that day. But even with a felony conviction, it remains serious. Barbering is a close contact profession. Clients sit in the chair and allow barbers into their personal space. Their work involves proximity and touch. And clients rely on professional boundaries. A sexual assault related conviction is directly relevant to the safety of a licensee to practice. He's telling the he told the criminal court that he was guilty, and he's now telling the board that he is innocent. Those positions cannot both be true. Either he falsely stated that to the criminal court, or he's falsely stating that to us today. Either way, his current assurances become less reliable. Additionally, on the renewal application, he indicated that he had not been convicted. He admits that he did not disclose because he feared licensing consequences. That is exactly why the division asked these questions. I mean, I know in his statement, he's indicating he wasn't thinking through the consequences of that omission, but respectfully, I would say that he was thinking through those ramifications. That's why he didn't include them. Licensees cannot decide for themselves which convictions are too damaging to report. Non-disclosure deprived the division of the chance to properly assess the risk. So he is asking the board to trust him now, but he has already lied to the division when his license was at stake, and his denial has to be weighed against that history. This is not just about whether he lied once, it affects whether he can be trusted with future reporting, compliance, and monitoring. He also mentions that his therapy, no longer has to go to therapy. But no longer being required to attend therapy does not mean the risk is eliminated. Therapy provides tools. It doesn't cure someone. The class, I would use an analogy. If I were to go out today and hit somebody out of anger, they would probably make me go take an anger management class. That's usually a day long. That doesn't mean my anger is now gone. I have to apply the tools that I learn in that therapy into my daily life and demonstrate that I've made meaningful changes, and that can only be done during time. And so I think that's where we're at with Mr. Ruiz. I'm glad that he's completed that therapy. That's admirable. But I think that we now need time in order to see whether he has meaningfully incorporated those changes into his life. And additionally, the criminal case has not considered this a resolved matter. He remains on probation. He remains on the sex offender registry. And on the registry point, the registry allows people to independently assess risk. But ordinary customers do not check the registry before a haircut. In commercial services, the registry is an imperfect protection. Customers are likely to rely on the state license as an assurance that the person is safe to practice. So we must be careful about giving that assurance in a profession that requires that level of close contact. Similarly, probationary licensures require trust. Monitoring requires candor, self-reporting requires honesty. Probation only works if the licensee accepts responsibility and complies honestly. And we have not seen that yet for Mr. Weiss. So in closing, this was a serious conviction. This is a profession that requires close contact. We have a false renewal answer. We have a present denial after a guilty plea. And I would also point out on that, I mean, the first step to making those meaningful changes is to accept responsibility. So it is problematic that he's now saying that didn't occur. The therapy does not establish safety. The monitoring depends on trust that he has now undermined. And so the division respectfully requests that the board recommend a revocation for a period of 5 years. Give Mr. Ruiz that time to demonstrate that he's made those changes into his life. Does anyone have any questions for me?
I'm just going to ask, where did this occur again?
That occurs. Utah County. Yeah, Provo Police Department investigated it.
I just wondered specifically because I see in his notes, he says a bar and the description acts like it's an apartment or a house. So I wanted to clarify whether that was actually at a bar or actually, or.
I live.
That was my clarification.
Sorry, I lived above the apartments of by ABG's, which is off the center in Freedom right there. So it's walking distance to my apartment. It's pretty much above. It's right there on the corner.
So the allegations happened at the apartment?
Yes.
If there are no further questions, we can then read the that language to break into the closed session.
This is Shannon Gilchrist, as provided under Utah Code unnoted 524205-1A. I move to close this portion of the meeting to discuss the character and professional competence of the physical and mental health of an individual. Maybe a second motion.
Shauna Ellen, second the motion to close this portion of the meeting to discuss the character, professionalism, competence, physical and mental health of an individual.
Okay, now we'll do a roll call of all board members. So Shannon Gilchrist, aye. Darlene Durant.
Aye.
Christy Hammond.
Aye.
Shauna Allen.
Aye.
Stafford Palmieri. Stafford.
Two-thirds
of the members.
Okay.
Canessa? Aye. Kim Hatch?
Aye.
Okay, so we have two-thirds of the vote, so that motion carries.
Before you turn it off, I just want, so during your deliberations, my recommendation is you use the notice of agency action as sort of your roadmap. You're going to be discussing each of those six allegations and whether you find that those are true and factual or not. You'll then discuss the request for relief. That is, the request for relief is just our request. That it does not mean that's what you have to do. You have the full range of discretion as far as what you recommend to the division. That could include revocation, suspension, probation with conditions, or some other license restriction. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.